Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Qadira Aisha Muhammad. For Religion Means Alive, today's date is December 28, 2015. Tonight's topic is removing slave behavior. Okay, before I get into that, first and foremost, before I do anything, I always want to give thanks and praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me life today, giving me another day to worship Him, worship the Creator, and give glad tidings to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all of his family and his lineage. I thank Allah for Islam because, first and foremost, you know, Islam is clear cut. There's, you know, no in between, and there's no shoulda, coulda, woulda. That's first and foremost something that's important for us to recognize in Islam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that it is permissible for you to marry someone of a different race and a different culture. And for Muslim women, that would be another man who is Muslim. That's one of the stipulations for women, that the man has to be Muslim. For a Muslim man, it has to be a woman of the book, which could mean that she is Christian or Jew, or he can marry a Muslim. But it still doesn't stipulate the race. The reason why I picked the topic, removing slave behavior, is because people like to mix the Black Power movement, Islam, where it doesn't have any place in it. And this is where a lot of hostility comes with Muslims who don't want to let go of that. Being Black or being white or being Asian is not going to guarantee you paradise. But inshallah, Muslim will. You know, this is something that we fail to realize, and, you know, people get all in their feelings about people's preferences in life. Everybody has the right to choose their mate. And if Allah sees fit, He will join them together in marriage. I mean, that's the way it goes. But people, you know, and then it's a lot of stereotypical behavior that people don't understand, or people aren't conscious enough to understand what real slave mentality means. You know, people want to say, oh, you know, this is horrible that you would pick somebody who's, you know, not African American. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and also Allah did not negate that I had to pick someone who was African American. And see, when I point these things out, people really have an issue with them. So I'm going to give you an explanation on it. Brothers talk all day long about how they want a wife who is obedient. So they don't look towards African-American women because we have an attitude. We roll our necks and our heads and we snap at everything. So this is their reason for not picking African-American women, because we're not obedient. We're not submissive. So it's okay for them to go and get Egyptian woman or Moroccan woman or Somali because they're more submissive. But it is extremely forbidden, and I'm not saying everybody, I'm not saying everyone is saying this, it is highly offensive when an African-American sister says that she's going to be with, as in marriage, with someone who's not African-American. And here is why this is slave behavior. If you know the story of slaves, the male, the strongest male that had good vigor, was the head stud, black man who would father all the children in the local plantation. So no other black man except for this strong black male was able to sire children with even with their wife. Even if they loved somebody, they could not sire children with them because they were considered weak. And the slave owners, the plantation owners, needed the strength. They didn't want weak people. They wanted strong, strong niggas. They wanted them, vigorous and strength and have power because they needed them out in the fields. They didn't want them weak and tired. So they figured that if we took the strongest male and we took the woman who was bearing the most children, we'll have a successful plantation. And so because a lot of African-American women who were slaves were raped and molested by plenty of men, and when they bore those children, it was looked down upon that if that black woman would choose somebody outside her race, she is a sellout, a traitor. Look what they did to your ancestors. They raped them. So that put in the mind of African Americans that you better not step outside your race. For the women, not for the men, for the women. African American women kept so much flack for marrying someone outside their race more than African American men do. But it should be the same connotation, but they don't do it. This is slave behavior. This is how they have you conditioned. It's more to it, and I'm going to explain why. African American men, it should be the same for both, and I'm going to tell you why. African American men shouldn't want to be with nobody outside their race because they were punished. They were killed. They were hung for even looking at a woman outside of their race. But because we have that slave mentality, we feel like it's okay for them to do it because, hey, they were lynched and punished for it. But wasn't African-American women punished for it as well? See, what people fail to realize is that when you become Muslim, when you recite the Kalima Shahada, Ashhadu ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, when you recite that, all of that black, white, Asian, Indian, all that, Islam came for a reason. But nobody wants to accept it. Y'all still want to sit on this black power stuff. Y'all want to forbid the halal and make it haram and take the haram and make it halal. Y'all will fight me tooth and nail on this subject. And it's sad. And I say also that a lot of people stand how people outside of the United States view African Americans. And it's only when you see that they feel comfortable around you, or when you tell them that, my lineage and my heritage is not African American, they don't come from America, I come from here, their mouth and their language gets loose, and you see what they see African Americans for. And it's sad. But we're not trying to change this. We just want to attack each other and, say that, I'm a disgrace and I'm horrible, I'm a horrible Muslim, things of this nature. And it's sad. It's really sad that people think that we have to be with our own race. We don't. And I'll get into more details in a few minutes. I see someone is on the line and wants to speak, so I'm going to put you through. Thank you for joining. Wa alaikum salam.
I think that what you're saying is very true. I think that
I can't really hear you, brother. It's like it's kind of muffled.
I said can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I think that that you know we should have equality. I think that the whole house nigga mentality that should go away. But I do think that black people should take their dignity back as Muslims, and they should act accordingly. You know what I'm saying? In accordance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you should want to be around people that remind you of Allah. And a lot of times, I think that the other Muslims from other races look down on us because we have some of these ways, because we, partly because we're Americans as well. You know what I'm saying? Because America got a little bit of an entitlement, and we don't really have to work for a lot of things. Like a lot of other countries, they have to work harder for things, and they look at us like it's lazy and different things. I mean, I got friends of all races. I'm speaking in regards to Muslims. And I think that if you're an articulate, intelligent Muslim, they do view you differently, because in my inner circle of people that I'm amongst, I do know African-American people that are married to other races, but those people are affluent. They have degrees. They're prestigious. They're not ratchet.
Right.
But that just goes to say that I think that we should just conduct ourselves with dignity. That's all that it really is.
Right.
And that's
my whole point.
Other than that, inshallah. Yeah,
inshallah. That's definitely my point where, people don't see past that. They just think, black Muslims should stick with black Muslims, and that's not the case, as I'm trying to explain here. So, Shukran for calling in. I appreciate you commenting on the show.
Jazakallah khairan.
Wa yaka. So, it's slave mentality works in a lot of different ways. And I named one as far as, how a lot of African-American Muslims want to say it's reverse racism, because they claim that I hate African-Americans, and I told them I do not. See, people want to hear what they want to hear, and they want to feel how they want to feel because of the presumption of what they thought I said. Now, what I said was that I would not marry an African-American man. And did not even change it so much that I would not even marry an American man. The mentality of American people, for the most part, is tarnished. But people don't understand this. They only see one side of things. And, a lot of people that I was going back and forth with on social network today are young. And I'm going to give y'all that pass. I'm not even mad at you, because you know why? Y'all making my ratings go up. Y'all had people contacting me. I had people calling me wanting to do interviews and so forth. So, Allahu A'lam, I appreciate y'all for attacking me and making me better. MashaAllah, that's just how I look at it. People have to understand that everybody's not going to like you, and everybody is not going to fit in your niche. Everything is not going to be the way that you are, the way you want it to be, how you think it should be. I mean, we have to think logical and rational here. We definitely have to take time and understand what slavery did to us on a whole. When the slaves were first brought over, they stopped in the Caribbean islands, and Haiti was one of those first stops. They went to Jamaica. They went to the other islands. Before, those islands were inhabited by the Moors and the Arawak Indians. Now, the Moors were dark-skinned. And when the Africans came over, they actually formed a coalition to uprise and refute what was happening to them in Haiti. Haiti is is the first country to uprise and overthrow the regime that was running there. and that regime was Caucasian. Haiti still ain't right. Not because they can't get it together, but because they're being suppressed and oppressed and depressed because of the situation that happened. They will forever. Do y'all know that the American Red Cross raised billions of dollars for the earthquake that happened in Haiti? Let me tell you how many houses they built from billions of dollars that they got. 6 houses. So believe me, I get it. And I get that we should stick together because we have been through so much as a people that we should stick together, we should strive together, we should not, you know, hate each other or fight each other. I get that. But also don't deny me my preference to choose who I would want to choose or degrade me for it. People get so worked up around social network. Social network is entertainment for me. But also I educate myself and I educate others because everybody looks at the glass as half empty when it's half full. And I'll be the first person to admit that I'm wrong on something. Now, I did a show called 7 Lies That Are Told Against African-American Males to prove that I have no problem with African-American men. I have no problem with them. If you choose to be with an African-American male, that's your business. If you choose to be with a Caucasian, that's your business. I don't judge. You know, people think, oh, I had something damaging in my childhood. Something happened to me that I don't like African-American men. And, you know, I explained this before. Never was I attracted to African-American men. Never. I had an Italian boyfriend. This is pre-Islam. Italian boyfriend. Samoan boyfriend, Jamaican boyfriend, I could relate to them better than Americans. And it started because I started to receive the hate early. My mom put me in a program called the desegregation program in the city of Philadelphia school district. This was a time where in the Northeast there were not a lot of black students going to the school and they wanted to integrate it. So what they did was in the late 80s, what they did was they would bus African-American children from the surrounding neighborhoods in the, you know, real urban African-American areas, Southwest Philly, West Philly, North Philly, and they would bus them out to the schools in the Northeast. Now, when I went to school, because I went to junior high school and high school in the Northeast. Back in the 80s, it was totally different than what it is now. It's integrated now. At times, it was only like 3 black people in the classroom. And yes, we had to deal with a lot of issues because I was never exposed to racism. Because I was around black people so much, but my mom chose to do that to give me a different outlook and a different view on life and to people. I deal with people on a daily basis. And if I'm talking to someone who's African-American and don't have a high level of education, or, you know, aren't that familiar with conducting business, they can't even look me in the eye. That's slave behavior. I'm just saying, for me, when I talk to somebody who is Caucasian, Asian, I'm looking them dead in their eye, and I'm not wavering from that. Slave behavior is to have you look down and not look them in the eye. Part of the Jim Crow laws. But people don't read this and understand that this is conditioning.
done. Back in the 60s, you would be killed. You looked a white man in his eye. You would be killed if you looked at, look at Emmett Till. They killed him because they thought he whistled at a white woman. It's conditioning, but y'all don't see it. Y'all don't see it. It's a lot of people who could not hold an intelligent conversation with a person in a high status that is Caucasian. They'd be scared to death to talk to them. And I'm going to give you an example of how I know this. First-hand experience. Where I moved to, it used to be predominantly all white. When I moved on my block, I was the third black person on my block. When I went to, when my children went to school, there were about, I want to say, 20 black children in the entire school. In the entire school district, which was huge, not that many. Not that many. Not even people of other races. The disparage slowly came out here. I'm going to give you a perfect example. School called me, said my daughter had an issue and that they were suspending her. And I said, for what? I'm going to come up there to the school because I need, you know, I need to find out what the situation is, what's going on. So to the school, and I see the principal talking to an African-American woman about her child. He's screaming at her. She's literally in tears. I'm talking about snot coming out her nose, tears and everything. And she got her son sitting next to her, and he's like looking like scared. He didn't know what happened. I felt bad for her. I didn't interject, though. I said, oh, I know what I'm working with. So when he pulled me into his office, he started to scream at me. I looked him dead in his eyes, and this is what I said. I said, so you could talk to her like that? You could talk to these teachers like that? You could talk to your wife like that? But you will not talk in that manner and in that tone. You will not scream at me. You will not raise your voice to me because I'm not going to accept it. What did he do? He talked to me like he had some intelligence. What did I see him do to other parents? Scream and berate them. We have to understand that, yes, slavery tore us all up, tore everybody up. But we also have to understand that Islam negates that. You can't waver on both. You can't say, oh, no, we shouldn't do this and we shouldn't do that, and Islam says you can do it. You cannot forbid the halal and make the haram halal. You can't do it. People have to understand, and somebody asked me to speak on this. The main role of slavery was to have mind control over the slave. Have them in fear, keep them scared, keep them obedient. Majority of the slaves that came over here were Muslim. They stripped them of that. Why? Islam does not promote that. It doesn't say you should be slaves. It shouldn't say that all these false things that were created in the Bible to justify slavery. We got the Chronicles of Willie Lynch. I advise anybody who wants to learn about slavery to read that. because it talks about everything that I'm talking about. But it also justifies it, saying, oh, no, you shouldn't, you know, be outside your race, help, encourage that. And let me explain something here with the whole, oh, you're degrading the race and not making the population. Let me explain something here. If you look black, you're getting treated black. Believe that. That's not a joke. It's not a game. You're getting treated like you look. You can have all the money in the world. Look what happened to Oprah when she went to Hermes. Look what happened to, who was it, the tennis player. All that money, and they still treated him like what he looked like, stating facts. People can argue with me all day long, but the stuff that I'm stating is not made up. You can find this information anywhere. One movie I tell people to look at, two movies I tell people to look at, if you really want to find out about black culture and black history, I tell people to look at Roots, the beginning, the first part of Roots. And the reason why I state that is because you will see Kunta on the shit make us a lot. He was beat and beat, and they don't get into all this in the movie, but they do in the book. Why was he stripped of Islam? Because Islam gives equality to all, not just a certain race or a certain color. Look who was one of the closest companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bilal. And if anybody watched the movie The Message, Bilal was very dark. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed him to call the Adan. He won him his freedom. But people don't realize this. Another book, besides Willie Lynch, another book is that's good to read is How to Make a Negro Christian. Now, we all know that we can't take from the Bible. We can't take from the Bible because it's been corrupted and changed. And part of this change was to convince the former Muslims that were now slaves that it was ordained by God that they should be slaves. They stripped Islam from them because Islam gave everybody their rights. Gave everybody their rights. Said, hey, you know, Sharia law states that everyone should be treated equal. An Arab is not better than an Arab. A black is not better than a black. Of course the slave masters couldn't have us thinking that. That would negate their whole reason for bringing us over here to make us work. In the movie Roots, it clearly shows that we were Muslim. Another reason why they don't want us to understand or associate with Islam, because Islam gives you your rights. It gives women their rights. And we see the feminist movement go on, which is also a part of slave mentality. What happened to the women on the plantation? Their children were stripped from them. They would have babies. The babies would be stripped from them. Or they would be sent to other plantations. A majority of time, the women were allowed to keep the girl children. But she raised her to be self-sufficient. Like, don't get too attached to people. Don't get too comfortable with stuff. You got to be able to stand on your own. But she didn't have to raise her male children because they were taken away from her and they were put to work in the fields at a young age and they were used as studs for various plantations. just the father children, have that same mentality going on today. But nobody sees it. Government assistance away from the black family. Take the black man out of the equation, put welfare, put Section 8, all this, give this all to the black woman. She don't need a black man. She don't need no man for that matter. Hey, but if I keep creating kids, the government's going to take care of me. Slave mentality. Slave mentality. People don't see it. All these women screaming, independent, I'm independent, I can do this on my own, I don't need no man to take care of me, I pay for everything myself. Oh, well and good, alhamdulillah that you can do that, but that is not why Allah created you, to take care of yourself. To struggle and take care of your kids. Again, people don't pay attention to the slave mentality. In Surah An-Nisa 4:4, it says that men spend of their wealth for the woman. This is what the degree is that Allah talks about over the women. Women don't take care of men. Men take care of women. It's not in the natural order, the natural fitra of a woman to take care of a man. But see, this is what slave mentality has you thinking. I can always go to Massa, which is the government. He's going to take care of me. Tali, the men. Oh, I don't have to take care of her. I don't have to take care of the kids. The government will take care of them. Slave mentality. Now, I could go on and on and on and talk about bits and pieces of slave mentality and how it doesn't coincide with Islam. But people still want to feel how they want to feel on this black power stuff. The black struggle. Absolutely, we have to struggle. Absolutely. I'm not saying I'm perfect, I got it easy, I had it easy. None of it. Everybody got up in arms because of my preference. And I challenge people to do it. I said, go to Muslima.com. That's a dating website for Muslims. Trying to, get marriages together. www.muslima.com. And I challenge people. I said, go look at the brothers' profiles. Go to search on African-American males and look at their profile and see what they're looking for, what they're looking for in a wife. 9 times out of 10, you will see it will say Moroccan, Egyptian, or some other kind of foreigner. They don't want African-American sisters. And a couple of people did it. They actually went there and they saw it and they was like, yo, you right. I'm not saying don't be with African-American. You can do whatever you choose to do. You can feel however you want to feel. But don't knock somebody else because they choose that way. Just because it doesn't sit right with you doesn't mean that you have to degrade it or put that person down. Brothers talk about it all the time. Show you a picture of their wife. She's Caucasian. She's from wherever. You never hear nothing about it. Because it's accepted and it's slave mentality. Oh, he came up. He got, he got himself a farm. Yeah, but when a sister does it, it's a whole problem. Slave mentality. When I put up the picture of me and my fiance together, let me tell you who the number one haters were. African-American men. So much so, they inboxed him and tried to degrade him. Him not being from America was like, Quadero, what is this about? Why are they attacking me? He had no clue He was like, why are they being so mean to me? What did I do to them? Absolutely nothing. Why would they say these hateful things about me and I'm Muslim? Slave mentality. We have to understand that Allah in his infinite wisdom, perfect with a certain way. If African Americans weren't able to sleep with Caucasians or Indians or whoever, we wouldn't be able to have kids with them. Can't have a cat and a dog having babies together. I mean, I really don't get it. And I was exposed at an early age to people of other cultures. You know, me being raised in Christianity, my brother's godparents were Caucasian. I never had my parents say, oh, you better not bring this type of person home. Or if I did, it was never no negativity about my choices. My parents didn't do that. It was basically, who's going to treat you right, who's going to treat you well, and give you the best that they can. I try to tell people, my whole family is mixed up with different people from different races and different cultures. It's always been like that. We don't have a problem with it. It is what it is. I'll open the lines. If anybody has a comment, question, or concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013. I see got quite a few people online. I hope I don't miss anybody. If you are streaming live on the web, you can hit the chat button and you can post a comment or question there also. I can't see who's on there. I'll just be able to respond if you hit the chat button and type of message. You know, we covered a lot of topics today in regards to issues on, you know, how people see things. And, you know, I try to educate African Americans a lot on different things. And, you know, people think the world is nice and, you know, people are accepting of American people. People will tell you and will do what they think is necessary in order to get ahead with certain things. I mean, you see people true colors, and I'll give you a perfect example. There was a post where this guy, he went on a rant about Muslims and everything like that and how he hates us and how he wished that we were attacked and all this other stuff. And the person who was actually on the post went to that man's page and saw that this was his real name. He had his workplace information listed. The guy went back and said, well, I already sent this to your job. So they could know what kind of people they employ. He came back on the post, oh, I apologize, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to say it like that. That's not what I meant. Could you please go and erase that or whatever like that? He was only apologetic because he got caught. And this is the same thing with a lot of people from different cultures and different countries. They do not like African Americans. They call us lazy, we're stupid, we're ignorant, we're good for nothing. I was just watching, what was it, yesterday on ID, channel ID, about mystery stories about murders and stuff. This Indian man had his daughter-in-law murdered because he was married to our son, and it was all kept quiet because he was African-American, and he was Indian. He had her killed because he did not want him bringing his wife to his daughter's wedding who was marrying somebody of status. If people think, and it's just not like, you know, it's people who are of color. Trust and believe me, I'm not going to go into the country, but a lot of people do not look at African Americans as equal. They still look at you like slaves. Like you're beneath them and they're the same color as you, and they get very agitated and irritated when somebody calls them African American. It could be a Jamaican who is darker than me, black. I'm not African American, I'm Jamaican. They will clarify what country they come from. Everything ain't for everybody, and I tell people that. But people need to also think on the broader side of the spectrum with things. When you look at things a certain way, that's all you're going to get. There's a movie, and, you know, I put this out to all the listeners on the call and also who's streaming via the web. It's a movie called Uncle Tom's Cabin, and somebody sent this to me a couple weeks ago. And this was the first time I heard of it. This is the first time I saw it. You actually have to sign a clause stating that you're over 18 on YouTube to view this movie, because if y'all think Roots was bad or Queen or any, y'all ain't seen nothing. This puts the truth out there about what was done to the Africans that were brought here, how some of our own people sold us out, how people looked down on us, degraded us, and we still wanted to, you know, have our freedom. Rightfully so. And I can get everybody being mad who have a problem with interracial relationships and marriages and things of that nature who aren't Muslim. You're entitled to that because you technically don't know no better. But when you look at Islam, and I keep this as the focal point, when you look at Islam, it negates that. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not just sent to Arab people. He was sent to all of mankind. And the sooner we understand it, the better off we'll be. I'm not the only person talking about this. There's other people who talk about this. If we don't show that we have some form of intelligence, we're smart. I know we're smart. Let me explain to you why I know that African Americans are smart. Half the inventions out here in the world today came from people who are African American, and I support that 100%. The reason why I support it is because look at African American males who are in jail. Look at the things that they create. I watched Locked Up. I'm like, wow, like, you know, if we could apply this outside of the prison, we would be further than what we are. But, again, I know there is a great disparage to African American men. It's in the plan. And I speak on this. But everybody wants to hate on Quadira. Quadira don't know what she's talking about. She's racist to her own people, this and that. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Do I want African-American people to do better than what they're doing? Absolutely. Absolutely. We will get out there and march. We will get out there and complain when a white cop murders someone of African-American descent. We will not march when an African-American kills another African-American. We don't do it. Why? Why is it? We should have that same outrage that we have for the Trayvon Martin, the same as the 9-year-old boy who was killed by two gang members because they couldn't get to his father, or they were sending his father a message. 9 years old. Where's the marches at for him? Where they at? Where are they? We should have been so outraged for that. That should still be in the news. We should be at every court hearing for that family to support them. Are we there? Do we even hear about it? Is anybody talking about it? Where's the march? Where's the T-shirt? Where's the die-ins at? This is what I talk about because, you know, on one hand it's okay, but on the other hand it's not. We have to pick and choose our battles. And we should not be picking and choosing our battles against one another as Muslims. Now, I'm not saying that racism doesn't occur in Islam. Absolutely it does. That's 100% it does. You never heard me say it doesn't. I know firsthand it does. When I was married to my ex-husband who was Indian, oh, yeah, everybody used to say stuff smart. Everybody used to be in his inbox. So much so, he was like, look, well, I can't deal with this. He deleted his whole Facebook. We have to understand the divine plan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for us. First, it is to worship him. Be in this world as a traveler. We concern ourselves so much so with what's going on with other people in their lives that we don't even maintain our own home. How many parents go to PTA meetings? How many people really fight for the education for their children? How many people are speaking out against things? And you know, a lot of people call me on things. I do not put all of my business on social networks. I want people to think that I don't have nothing and I'm a bum. I want people to think that. Why? Because that keeps me humble. You think that less of me? Alhamdulillah. Thank you. I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do. I don't brag and boast about what I do, what I have, where I've been at, what I got. No, I don't do that. People have asked me, why don't you put that out there? For what? People still not going to like me. It's not going to make people like me anymore. And frankly, I don't care. Care what man says about me. I'm focused on pleasing my Rabb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what my concern is. Am I making my prayers on time? Am I fasting? Am I giving in charity? Things like that. People like, you do so much. Yeah, that's not everybody's business. People want to put me in newspapers. No, I don't need to do all that. I'm cool. But people call me arrogant. People call me, you know, boastful. I don't put that out there because it's not important. And that's the way you should be. You should keep your good deeds just as concealed as your bad deeds. That's what you're supposed to do as a Muslim. I don't go out there and brag about, oh, my education, how much money I make, all this and that. I don't do that. For what? You know why I don't do it? Another reason. Because Allah, depending on what the Allah, could take that at any time, at the blink of an eye. You could wake up, you could have a stroke, and lose everything. You could walk out, get hit by a bus, and never have the right capacity in your body ever again, and you could lose everything. Do I live beyond my means? Absolutely not, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me with what I need. That's why I don't pray for more than what I have. Allah, just allow me to maintain what I have. And if you can remove some things, like, you know, lower my gas bill, stuff like that, I'll be appreciative. You know, things like that. I'm not praying for, you know, more money. More money, more problems. But we forget these things. We focus on things that should not be our concern. If you see somebody, okay, if that person was married 20 times, if they are looking to get married so they don't commit fornication, be happy for them. That person fears the law so much that they will continue to seek marriage so they don't fornicate. Now, am I saying marry 1,000 times? Absolutely not. Should you try to stay married? Absolutely. Is divorce frowned upon by law? Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, did I say that if I marry a foreigner, they're going to be perfect? Absolutely not. Everybody got issues. It just don't, you know, fall into, you know, oh, she thinks she's going to get this perfect Muslim. No, absolutely not. I have disagreements with my fiancé now. But do I let that take a toll or say, oh, no, I can't do this? No. I like learning about new cultures. I like learning about people. I like looking at things from a different perspective. And another thing, a lot of people don't travel. When you travel the world, you get to see things in a whole different light. And I'm not just talking about in the continental United States. I'm talking about abroad, outside the country. You get to see a whole lot more. And me being as dark as I am, and with my hair as nappy as it is, and my features, there's no way in the world I'm passing for any other than black. And even if I could choose, you know, people say, if you could choose and come back as some other race, would you? No. No. Nope. I'm cool. Oh, even though you know that you could bypass a lot of the racism and hate, life is a test, and what I'm tested with, may Allah reward me with that. Reward me with my patience and my effort with that. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if he created man perfect, he would destroy us and redo it again. He don't want us perfect. We're not all going to be perfect. So what that means is we're going to have differences with different situations. You know, people ask me, oh, do you have sons? Do you? No, I don't have sons. I have daughters. And what I have told my children is when you want to choose to marry and be with someone who is going to be there for you, be able to take care of you, support you, love and nurture you, and walk hand in hand with you through difficulties. If that person is white, black, or whatever, that's what I want for my children. I don't tell them, oh, you have to go and get somebody of a different culture. I don't tell my kids that. Why would I tell them that? Because if that man is Muslim and he can do that for you, alhamdulillah. Doesn't matter where he comes from. All I want is someone who's going to treat my daughters according to Islamic law, where Allah has given them the set of rights that they are deemed to have and should receive as Muslim women. See, that's another thing. We get caught up in this whole feminist independent. Allah did not create women to be independent. That's slave mentality. That feminist movement stuff, they had nothing to do with African-American women, but we included ourselves in it when it had no precedence for us. What does it say? A woman should pray in her home. Her home is her masjid. Her bedroom is even more her musalla. So what does that say? That we should be praying in the home. Why? Because it safeguards us from other things that could harm us or put us in danger out in the street. But people want to, you know, be distracted. Another thing that I said, you know, I was like, people don't look at how people are trying to discredit Islam by the things that they do, and I said it has no point in it. And, you know, I talked about this about just a little bit off topic about churches being corporations and incorporated. Whenever you go to a church page to find out if they have, you know, sold out and they got their 501c, go to the webpage, go to the bottom on contact us or information about us. If you see LLC or INC or any kind of corporate statement after their name, that lets you know that they are controlled by the government. And with that being said, they can't preach against gay marriage, none of that. So we look at, this is a distraction that I said that we need to focus on. They have an all-women's masjid in California. They have the gay masjid in, I believe it's D.C. or Atlanta. Go look at their credentials, because that'll just tell you right then and there whether or not they sold out. And if you see Incorporated, LLC, any of that afterwards, yeah, they ran by the government, and that's a distraction for us. It's a distraction to make people think that we accept that. You know, there's a lot of distractions. But, you know, like they say, if you knew better, you do better. And a lot of us don't know better. And a lot of us don't want to know better. And that's where the world problem comes in at, is when you seriously don't want to know better. Anytime somebody speaks against how you feel, it's a problem, and you want to attack that person. Me being with somebody who is not African-American ain't going to pay your bills next month. And you feeling some type of way about it ain't going to pay mine. But if we both strive in the cause of Allah and try to be better Muslims and try to help the community and donate charities and give sadaqah and raise our offspring accordingly to the tenets of Islam, then we're doing a good job then. Inshallah. I'll open up the line again. If you have a comment, question, or concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1. And I have one chat message. It says, sister, what made you feel like African-American men were not adequate for you to marry? Well, I'll answer this question. It's not that I felt that African-American men were not adequate for me to marry. I was married to an African-American, so it's not saying that I wouldn't marry him. Growing up in the environment that I did, African-American men were not attracted to me. And I've said this before. And I was not attracted to them. My preference is not that somebody did something horribly wrong to me for me to hate. My father was black. My brothers are black. My uncles are black. My cousins are black. I have nothing against them. Love them dearly. Support them in their cause. Prior to Islam, I have a 25-year-old godson who is African-American. Do I support him in his endeavors? Absolutely. Do I tell him about himself? Absolutely. Does he listen to me? Sometimes. Do I encourage, am I frank with how I say things? Absolutely. That's why people don't ask me things, because they know the way that I state it, I'm going to come frank. This is no bakery here. I'm not sugarcoating anything for you. If you don't want to hear what I got to say, don't ask me. You know, I give it to you raw. I'm,
you know, I want to say I have tough love, and I try to use reverse psychology a lot of times on things. Some people get it. Some people actually get it and understand where I'm coming from. They're like, I get it. I understand what you're saying. You know, I appreciate it, things like that. And how I am in person when I'm conducting business, people know my views on things. They know how I am. You know, this is why you won't see anybody in my family really comment or anything or say it, because they know this is how I always been. This isn't something I just woke up overnight because people was like, oh, did your marriage to an African-American was horrible and bitter? Now you're bit. Anybody could tell you, as the brother pointed out on the post, he said you was talking about this back in 2011, and hello, it's 2015, and I'm still the same way I was in 2011. At least you can say I'm consistent. I don't flip-flop one thing. No, I'm consistent. And I look at that. That's one of the things that I like about your past moment. Because I'm like, wow, I still said the same thing that I'm saying today. So I'm consistent. I don't flip-flop on things. You know, and it's not to hurt anyone's feelings, because me, I'm going to say what I want and how I want it. And if your feelings are hurt, I really don't care. And that's just me. You know, but will I see it from your side or your view, or even apologize if I'm wrong, which I have no problem doing. I will apologize if I'm incorrect or anything. And I did that on my show of showing 7 lies against African-American men, where it said that it's a great disparage against African-American men because they're incarcerated more for crimes that people of other colors would not be incarcerated for, and that's what put the numbers up, because they also can't afford lawyers, things of that nature, the education. They aren't exposed to like special education programs and things of that nature. Matter of fact, they are actually put in classes for special education and things of that sort more often so than actually dealing with the problem at hand, is, you know, the whole entire classroom or the teaching process. You know, they don't have time for that anymore. So African-American boys are put at a greater disadvantage for that. I talked about it. There are not more men, African-American men, in jail than there are in college. Actually, the number is way higher, and I gave the percentages on my show. Also, you have more African-American males now graduating with master degrees in various technologies, which is on the uprise, which is alhamdulillah, that's better. What I did say was that, you know, African-American men don't apply themselves. They give up too easy in situations, and they get frustrated with stuff. And this is where the disadvantage comes in at, is because they don't have that positive reinforcement from home. A lot of African-American men are being raised in single-family homes, so their mother, 9 times out of 10, are working, you know, multiple jobs just to keep everything afloat in the home, and the streets get a hold of African-American men, which leads them to acts of crime and things of that nature. And then we know, once you get a record, it's going to follow you until you put into the grave. You know, these are all things that I talked about, and I gave, you know, the percentages, you know, how African-American men can do better. You know, take care of your families. Stop creating kids like you're the stud out here on the plantation. Take care and raise your kids. Give your kids what you did not have. Give your kids a fighting chance. Be in their lives no matter what your child's mother is stating or how she feels. Negate all that. Put that to the side and take care of that child, because you lay down with her.
Nobody forced the gun to your head to make you lay down with her. And I did a show also on African-American women. Like, we definitely have to do better and cut out the ratchet behavior. I didn't just go in and attack the brothers all on, you know, the shows. And if anybody listens to previous shows, which you can do by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/emailalpha and go to the archives and look for my name, you will see what I did on these shows. I didn't just go into brothers, but a lot of things I try to stay away from is that black, oh, we got to, you know, support the, absolutely we do. We have to support, but we have to understand that we are Muslim first. This is where the disparage comes in. Yes, it's okay to support African-American Muslim businesses, but it's also okay to support Muslim business. I'll say this. When I started my hummus business, I said, okay, I want to work with the Muslims. I just want to deal with the Muslims. You know, I want to get this up and running. I want to make sure this is positive, that, you know, I solicit all the Muslim businesses and, you know, work with them, things of that nature, and got no feedback. Nobody was real important. Want to know who my number one customer is? Who's my number one supporter? Caucasian people. Even though I'm Muslim. My Caucasian friends have went out their way to support me and support my business. So much so, I have a couple of people who will not even eat store-bought hummus. They will wait for me to make their order. African-Americans don't support African-Americans because it's the crab in the barrel syndrome. We don't want to see you doing no better than us. But then when you see us doing better, you want to know how we got there. Well, I tried to tell you when I was trying to get it, but you ain't want to support that. We went over this on a call last night, what I did with the brother who invited me to his show. It's not all me. Do I take fault for anything that I said that offended people? Absolutely. I apologize, sincerely. You know, like I actually elaborated to the sister. I said, even after everything bad that people have, you know, something that really, you know, touched me is when a sister made a very negative comment about my father who is deceased, talking about you didn't have no father in your life. And that's your problem. That's why, you know, where's your daddy at? And I told her, I said, my dad was married to my mother to the day he died, October 11, 2012. Had my father my entire life till he left this earth. So your comment about me not having a daddy, you're wrong. And I said to the sister, I said, even if I seen that sister in trouble, I would still help her. But would she help me? Because, see, I'm not looking at you had the discrepancy with me because I don't like African-American men. I'm going to help you because you're Muslim. And I don't care how you feel about me. I worry about how Allah feels about me. So I would still help you even after your ignorant comments. That takes a greater person to do that. And anybody who knows me, well, Lord, he knows that I will help that sister. People have done far worse, believe me. What can we do to move on from here and be positive?
first and foremost, we have to fear Allah. And we have to uphold the tenets that Allah, depending on what the Allah revealed through the Quran, and gave that knowledge to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to abide by that. No matter how bad another Muslim treats you, you have to believe that Allah doesn't want you to feel that way about another Muslim. We're always going to have hate. Remember, if we were created perfect, Allah would have destroyed and recreated us so that we do sin. And I tell people, I did the whole issue over just being Muslim. And I explained to people, it's a way of keeping people in line. What would the world be like if it was perfect, like no wars, no hate, no nothing? It'd be kind of boring, wouldn't it? Everybody's happy. If anybody knows about the Stepford Wives, everybody's happy, smiling. Everybody's perfect, chipper. Nobody's sad, angry, or mean. Everybody's walking around with a smile on their face. How would we react to that? We have to first focus on being good Muslims. Before we focus on anything else and have hate for anything else, hate what Allah hates and love what Allah loves. We are all brothers and sisters in Islam, no matter if you was born in Pakistan, no matter if you was born in the Fiji Islands, no matter if you was born in Trinidad, no matter if you was born in Canada, Roanoke, Island, no matter where you were born, if you're Muslim, you're Muslim, and you should treat your brothers and sisters in Islam accordingly. We have to get over the slave mentality. Some people don't even know everything that encompasses slave mentality. Again, these are the books and the movies that I suggest you read on your own free time. The Willie Lynch Syndrome talks about how this guy wrote this book about how to break the Africans and to how to disrupt family, how to create them so that they don't have stability. That's what the Willie Lynch Syndrome talks about. Next one is How to Make a Negro Christian. It talks about how Christianity was twisted and manipulated to make Africans who were, you know, made slaves Christian because Islam gave them their rights, and they couldn't have them practicing Islam because that would put them on the same level. You know, they go in and they use Ham as being a cursed lineage. And that's what African Americans or blacks, period, came from, that cursed lineage. Uzzabillah, that's not true. This is why we don't take from the Bible and all the other stuff that they state that's misconstrued in the Bible. It was all used to make you confused about what you left behind, and that was Islam. Next movie is, I ask everybody to look at The Message. That's another good movie where it will show Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahabas and how Bilal, radiallahu anhu, was a close companion to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much so, he gave him the job of calling the Adhan. That was his job. So, again, Islam shows it doesn't have racism. Now, is it culture problems? Absolutely. People mix culture too much in Islam. Islam is perfect. Muslims are not, and that's one of the problems, culture. I'll do that on a whole other show because culture too many issues there. Too many people that innovated bid'ah into it, into Islam, and corrupted what people know as Islam to fit their own needs. But we know Islam is perfect. Muslims are not. So the message, Uncle Tom Scavin is another one, and Roots. Those are the top shows and books I would suggest you read to get enlightenment. And then, you know, maybe, inshallah, in the future, I could do a whole show on those things and address those issues. Right now we got kids killing kids. Again, like I said, nobody's out there protesting. About 3 weeks ago in Philadelphia, 3 kids was killed. Under the age of 17, 3 African-American boys were killed. Where the protest at? Where's the outrage? Where's the marches? Where's the shrines? Where's the T-shirts? Where is it? Where's the outrage? There is none. And this is what I talk about. Because one of those boys that was murdered went to school with my youngest daughter. When I put that correlation together, it made me think. We have to do a better job of starting with our homes first and foremost, working on ourselves first, and really implementing Islam in our lives. Again, I will make this apology, so whoever hears it, was I totally out of pocket for some of the things I said today? Absolutely I was, and I sincerely apologize for that. Totally out of pocket. So again, I sincerely apologize for that. My frustration gets where people just don't want to hear the truth. And it made me think back to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places a seal over people's hearts. Some people will never come to Islam. Some people will never accept Islam, ever. And no matter how much I talk and how much I state different things, some people will never understand the way that I think. So that's where I have to leave my frustration in. I have to leave it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to handle that situation for me because it's beyond my control. So on that note, I'm going to get ready to end this call here. If anybody has a comment, question, or concern while I'm going through the closing, feel free to call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. If you're on chat streaming live, just type me a message, and I'll be able to respond to it. So tonight's topic was removing slave behavior. We will be discussing how slavery still has a hold on us and how racism has no business in this camp, which I attempt to do. Okay, I have a question. Thank you for joining Religion Means Alive. Hello?
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Brother John Ali in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Fine, thank you. I just tuned in, and I was very moved just for the few minutes that I've been listening to the program. A brother called me today from Atlanta, Georgia, and we were talking about the situation with Muslims in general, not pointing the finger at anyone. My observation, as I expressed to him, is that it's the same thing that Imam Wahid bin Muhammad has discovered during his study and his observation of America and the environment, and that is that a great majority of people have lost the spirit to educate themselves and to truly roll up their sleeves and put on their boots and go to work. Even among members of our community at large and among those who say that they follow Imam Wahid bin Muhammad, we all want to be leaders, but we don't know how to follow. And a lot of us don't know how to respect one another. We still judge each other based on how much money you got in the bank, how handsome or how beautiful you are, irregardless of their character and irregardless of whether or not they are truthful. And if we don't follow the example of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and that is being sincere, and that is being truthful, and that is being helpful to those, even though they are not Muslim, whether they are Christian, Jew, Buddhist, Hindu, or whatever, if we don't have the love in our hearts to help others, and if we don't have the desire to see our community grow and become strong and safe, we're going to end up being extinct ourselves. And I'm not talking about extinct physically. I'm saying that we won't have a voice in America. We won't have a voice in our communities, and we definitely won't have strong families. And I see in America a spirit to destroy the family as well as destroy anything that is of good that gives the human being strength in his life. And this is what we should be addressing. It's a shame that brothers 30, 40, 50 years old are afraid to get married because they had a bad divorce. So what? There are a lot of people who've had bad relationships, but that didn't stop them from getting married, and I'm quite sure it's going to continue to happen. Imam Muhammad said it, that there's going to be a lot of breaking up and coming back together again. But it seemed like we don't get it. We're too much concerned with tooting our own horn, and it's sad. It's really sad. The men will not stand up in our community, whether they're Muslim or Christian or whatever. We will not come together and just sit down and have a cup of coffee and say, look, we're going to put $50 a week together, and we're going to establish a business, and we're going to employ our young men. The reason why our young men are getting killed and being targeted is because they are not productive in the community, and a lot of them have lost the desire in education, and they don't respect their parents.
Yep.
That's all I have to say. But we got to start being real and truthful with ourselves. And I appreciate you, sister, having the courage to speak out. And I tried to do the same in Florida. It's that we need the courage to speak out.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Shukran for calling in. And always, I thank you for giving your input in on the shows. It's greatly appreciated.
Thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate you and Brother Alfred and Brother Murad and the many other brothers who are part of establishing this program, as well as Muslim 360.
Shukra.
Okay.
Thank all the listeners and people who participate in on a call. My intention is not to promote anything against Islam. If anything, I'm trying to keep it first and foremost in what we do and how we think. a lot of people may not know how I even got on the show. Like, this wasn't my idea to get into radio. It wasn't my idea to have my own show. Brother Emir Alpha Muhammad reached out to me because he looked at my ideas and the way that I view things in a different manner. He said that he saw something in me that he knew would be good for this show. I started out just doing Saturdays because the ratings were, you know, doing extremely well with my shows and the topics that I chose to do. You know, I was extended the offer to do Mondays and Thursdays as well. So I do shows three times a week. Inshallah, you know, this continues. And again, my intention is not to put out hate and say we hate. My intention is to try to bring us together in the most cohesive manner as possible. We also have to think about the maturity level that we deal with on a daily basis. You know, sometimes people can just be in a bad mood, have a bad attitude about things. I mean, everybody has their down day. I'm one of them. I have my days often. But my thing is to promote positivity, not just in the Muslim community, in the African-American community, because I see it. I see it every day. I see it around me. Now my neighborhood had went from predominantly white to my community now is multicultural. If you go to our local supermarket, you will find fruits and vegetables from all over the world. Years ago, don't get me wrong, I like it. I like the diversity. I never like being in an area where it's just one type of people. I never wanted to live in that type of community. And that's why I moved where I moved to. I wanted my children to go to school with people of different races and different cultures so that they can understand it. And because where I live at has such a large Muslim population, you know, they just built a new masjid. You know, we're trying to get our holidays, the Eid, recognized in school so the kids can have the day off. It's going to be kind of harder for us to get it out here because our town is still ran by Republicans, so it's going to be extremely hard for us to do it. But we got the masjid after 10 years. A fighting to get a masjid because they didn't want it out here. They didn't know what it was about. And, you know, like I've stated, I'd rather live in a Muslim community than not to live in a Muslim community because at least in a Muslim community, I can feel somewhat safe going about. Another thing is, if I'm adorned in hijab and a Muslim brother is around, and if you live in a Muslim city, you're going to see somebody in Philly, you'll see a Muslim probably before every 10 minutes. You'll run into a Muslim. So if you're in trouble, somebody will help you. That's Muslim. That's the one thing I like about, you know, living in this area is a lot of Muslims. But even that has gotten bad. Oh, she ain't got on this, or I ain't being a part of that. You know, we have to be responsible, first and foremost, for ourselves. Second, for our children and our wives and our husbands. But we also got to promote this out into society. I have so many strikes against me, people don't even understand it. A woman, black, Muslim. And last, they'll see that, you know, oh, she's a foreigner too. People see what they see first, black, woman, Muslim. That's what they see first. Not necessarily in that order, but probably in that order or different. Nobody said I had it easy. just because I married outside of my race. Nobody said, oh, that made me have an easier life and things were perfect and good. No, nobody said that. You're going to have trouble with whoever you're with. But again, if you don't keep a law first in the things that you do, you know, it can go to hell in a handbasket real quick. I'll open up the line one more time if anybody has a comment, question, or concern, or if you want to type a message through chat, I'll take that as well. Call that number is 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. So I'm going to get ready to conclude the call tonight. Again, I appreciate everybody calling in, participating, listening to me, because I think a lot of times, you know, like they say, when you type stuff, people misinterpret it because we're typing and things like that. So, you know, people who know me personally, like, oh, yeah, that's her. That's how she do. You know, she's always like that. But I don't bite. I'm not like a rabbit pit bull or nothing like that. I'm very harmless. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. Psych, yes, I am. But, again, I appreciate everybody joining in. Today's topic was removing slave behavior. You know, I mentioned a couple of books and movies that, you know, I suggested that you watch just to get a better understanding, because a lot of people don't know what slave behavior is. They just think that, oh, it's hating black people or not wanting to associate things with being black. A lot of people have slave behavior and don't even know they have it, but that's how it was set up to be, to have you confused and not know that there was confusion implied in it. So I'll leave that there. This show will be available on the archive if anybody wants to share it, listen to a future, you know, a future listening, or provide it to a friend to listen for listening back. So you can always find that at www.blogtalkradio.com/emamalfred, one word, and go to the archive and you'll be able to hear the show. If you want to contact me personally, on my business line, it's 610-836-2120. You can leave me a text message or a voicemail, because it's a cell phone. If you want to email me something, if you have an event, anything that's going on in your neighborhood, your community that you want to promote on the show, if you have a topic for the show that you want to discuss with me, or want me to conduct an interview with you regarding something that you're doing, feel free to send me an email at qamrma@gmail.com. I'm on all social networks. That's Facebook, Instagram, Pass, Twitter, Google Talk. And again, you know, if you have a topic or something that you want to promote here on the show, feel free to contact me. Again, I appreciate everybody joining in. If you have questions afterwards, I'll be on social network to talk to you guys for a little bit about the show. I just thank you for your support. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing me to have this opportunity to share these things with you, educating not only, you know, yourself, because I do a lot of research on these topics. These aren't things that I just pick out the top of my head or I have no knowledge on. These are things that I have studied on my own personally, or, you know, when I was in college taking religious courses for study, I have done that. So, you know, it's just not, you know, I'm just talking nonsense, or, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. I have done, you know, research on these matters. Stay tuned. I don't have a topic for Thursday, inshallah. Maybe something else will come up, and I can address it then. If you do, send me a message on what you want me to talk about, inshallah. So, again, I thank everybody for joining me tonight. Have a good evening. Assalamu alaikum.